Thank you, JR. Appreciate it. Woo, good catch. Like it. Awesome. Good morning, Mount Helena. How are you? Excellent. Great. I have a little bit more announcements or celebration to share with you before we get into the scriptures this morning. I did want to follow up with you and let you know some updates about our small groups. We had sign up Sunday recently and groups started this last week. We offered 24 seeds group, and we had a few of those condense and join some other groups. So in total, we offered 21 seeds groups or 21 seed groups formed with 46 leaders a part of those groups, and 18 of those are first-time leaders, have never led a group at Mount Helena before. And it just as awesome as that is 54 first-time group participants signed up to be a part of those groups. 54 people who've never been a part of a small group at Mount Helena Community Church. In total, there's 188 people a part of the seeds groups that we're doing in conjunction with our messages here on Sunday and a part of guides. That's awesome, isn't it? Yes, that's great. That's with our average Sunday attendance here in the auditorium alone, so excluding children's church, but here in the auditorium, we run about 248 people on a Sunday. That leaves us at about a 76% average of participation. That's not including those levels 1, 2, and 3 groups that we offered. There's 8 of those, and there's 85 people that signed up to be a part of those groups. Everything from Monday night football and breaking bread on Sundays, a small fellowship group that gets together for lunch, also to our 301 class that Brandon Freitas leads. There's a few other groups that meet continuously no matter what in every season in rain or shine. So in total, we have 35 groups here at Mount Helena with 217 actual people. So some of you are a part of multiple groups or even multiple seeds groups. So there's 217 of 248 of us on average that gather on a Sunday here in this room, at about an 85% participation rate. So I am stoked about that. I congratulate you and thank you for getting involved in this journey of small groups of life, but specifically these seeds groups that we're going through on a Sunday. I'm excited to continue that series today. I should mention, in addition, there were 16 other people who signed up to be a part of ministry teams as well. To get involved, to not just receive on a Sunday, but to get involved and to also give back and to help, whether in the lounge with hospitality and First Impressions team, or at the sound booth, or on worship, or with kids ministry. We're grateful for all 16 of you who decided to do that as well. How many of you know God wants you to grow?
Yes.
God does want you to grow. You can grow if you're willing. You can turn out a crop, as we looked at a few weeks ago, that's 100 or 60 or 30-fold what was sown. In Matthew chapter 13, where I shared a few weeks ago about the sower and the seed that he's sowing and the different types of soil that he found, he explains in verse 23 of Matthew 13, it says, "But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." God wants you to grow. You and I can grow in him. We talked then that Jesus is the seed. The word of God is the seed that we need to get into us. We're the soil. We're the soil. I have a jar of it here, a jar of dirt, because I want to remind you, who's the soil? We are. Who's the seed? Jesus. God's the seed. The word of God needs to get into the soil. The soil represents us. If you don't believe me, I want to go to an Old Testament scripture real quick. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Is that not miraculous or what? I love Eugene Peterson's version out of the Message. God formed man, mankind, all of us, you and I both, from the earth out of dirt and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. That's a charging verse. Encouraging or discouraging? All right, I mean for it to be that way, but look at your neighbor to your right. Look at your neighbor to the left, okay? Get a look at the neighbor in front of you and the neighbor behind you. Get ready for this. Those are all dirt bags sitting next to you. Thanks for laughing with me, right? I stand before you an official dirt bag. We're made of dirt. We're made of the dust of the earth. And you know what? God loves it. In all creation, how many saw the beautiful sunrise this morning? These fall sunrises, and I see a number of you catching the aurora borealis at night and putting up the beautiful pictures on social media. But think of it. Of all creation, God says we're going to form mankind out of dirt of the earth. Dirt of the earth. And he's saying to them, as we saw a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 13, he's saying, those who have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes, let them see the kingdom of God. Let them see themselves for what they are and what I want them to be. Let them hear the word of God. Let them understand it. Let them receive it. Let them ponder it. Let them test themselves who they are. That they would turn out a crop. That they would turn out a crop from that seed that's deposited in them, in their dirt, in their soil, that makes up who they are, that it turn out a crop 100, 60, or 30-fold. There's another kingdom perspective in Matthew chapter 13 that we're going to take a look at today. You can turn there if you're not there already. But before we do, I want to say, we understand big, don't we? Big, bigger, biggest. We like big. How many of you like big coffee drinks in the morning? Some of you, I know, bigger the better, right? What about in the afternoon? Big sodas. 99 cents, pick the one that you want. I was telling my kids, we went the other night and got little junior Frosties at Wendy's. Right? The little junior Frosties, we have those key tags. They come in their stockings at Christmas time and use the key tag and get a free Frosty over and over all year long. That's wild, but they're just little. I said, you guys, when I was a kid, those little junior Frosty cups, that was the small drink at McDonald's. As a kid, that's the size of the drink that came with your Happy Meal. They're all like, what? That's all you got? What a ripoff! Today you can get 64 ounces, 86 ounces of soda at the gas station. Who's got the biggest donut in town? I expected more consensus. What about Vans Thriftway? Vans is way bigger than Albertsons, Safeway, and all the others. Unless you're from Deer Lodge, Montana. Who's got the biggest donut in the state? Louie at Boomerang's Bakery. Like the biggest apple fritter. It's huge in Deer Lodge. If you haven't had one, you got to stop and get a donut from Louie. How about your kids this morning? When they walked in the lobby, some of you, I saw kids gathering around Marv's pumpkins out there. What pumpkin does your kids pick out? Until you intervene, it's the biggest. No, we're not taking that one. We like bigger. We like bigger houses. Bigger houses always sell. Guys are into bigger trucks. And Lord knows, along with Town Pump, we're into bigger gas stations. every time they build one, it's bigger and bigger. Can it be bigger than the one in East Helena? Oh my goodness. Town Pump knows that we like bigger. But listen to me. One of the things Jesus is wanting us to hear in Matthew chapter 13 is that in God's kingdom, everything big started out small. It wasn't just created. It didn't just come into being as big. It grew from something small. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13 at a new parable this morning. In verse 31, it's a short one, just two verses. He says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. How many of you still believe the mustard seed is the smallest seed of all? Right? We know today there's microscopic seeds that float across the earth and get into the soil and the ground as well. But to Jesus' speakers, who he's talking to then, and the people who planted gardens on their property and in their places, the mustard seed was a great comparison for him to use. You can hold it in your fingers. In your guides this week, you'll see all sorts of them. In the seeds guides in your small group this week, you'll see all these mustard seeds, little round ones. Are they yellow? Does the powder that comes from them, is it yellow? It's not. It's dyed, right? But Jesus is saying you take that mustard seed and you plant it and it becomes this big tree. In their gardens, they would have been like 8 to 12 feet big and or tall and across, which is pretty big in a garden area. We have bigger trees, right? But let's not get hung up on those sort of facts and details. Jesus is saying something. He's saying that something small, something that starts off really small, when it's tended for and it's cared for and it's given a proper attention and priority, it grows into something that's a lot bigger than what it started. And it has something to actually offer. It doesn't just take up space in the garden. It has a place and a purpose in the garden. His real point is that the kingdom of God starts small and it actually grows big. The things that make up the kingdom of God start small and grow big. How many of you know the kingdom of God, the size that it is today, the number of churches, the number of believers that make up the kingdom of God today is meant to be bigger than it is? It's meant to be bigger. God has this heart to expand, to grow, to nurture, to care for, and to grow bigger the kingdom of God, and it includes you. He's focused on growing you as well. We can't talk about seeds without talking about faith. Jesus had just come from this moment with a couple of the disciples, the moment that we refer to as transfiguration, and they come down and they join the rest of the disciples and this crowd of people that are gathered and around the struggling father and his tormented son. And this story happens in Matthew chapter 17. But I want to remind you before we read it, I want you to remember that he just pointed out that seeds represent something that starts small and is meant to grow bigger. In verse 14, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, he says, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. What a sad story. I'm just being honest. I can't totally relate. Not every part of life is meant for us to relate to. We all have experiences, and there's as different experiences across the earth as there are people. And I can relate to some degree, but I can't relate like a father who would fall to his knees before Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy. I'm tired of my son falling into the fire and falling into the water. We don't have much fire around us, and it's fire prevention month, the month of October, in case you didn't know, in case you don't have elementary kids in your home and their tours to the fire station and want to review the fire escape route and procedures. But fire was a normal part of their life. And what attracted this young boy to the fire and what was inside of him that drove him into the fire, I can't relate, I can't understand, I can't totally grasp, but I can feel. I can feel for that father and his desperation as he falls to his knees before Jesus. Maybe some of us relate all too well to Jesus in verse 17, maybe we don't. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, real calmly, I'm sure. Real settled, as Mark encourages us. You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Again, we read it. I don't totally grasp. I know we get in general what's going on and what's happening. Pretty sure he'd be just as disappointed and frustrated with me and maybe rebuking me like he does in the next scripture. It says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed at that moment. In verse 19, it says, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? I want to ask the same question every once in a while. Why can't we drive that out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Here's what Jesus is saying. Here's part of what Jesus is saying. Just a little can make a huge difference. Just a little can make a huge, if not massive, difference. And that difference is faith. He's comparing the seed to the tree, the size or the amount of some faith to something impossible that he's trying to drive home to us, that nothing can be impossible for us. With faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say to something so much larger, much, much larger, move! And it will move. What's faith? What isn't faith? Faith is not a belief system. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith isn't just thinking at all. Faith goes way deeper than a system, than a structure, than a routine, than religious duty or obligation. It's something that has to be tapped into in a relationship. Faith is relational. Faith is deeper than cerebral. Faith's deeper than our feelings and our emotions. It has to be connected to the source who is faithful. Faithful God, are you with me? Faith is a deep, childlike trust in someone who's so much bigger than I am. I watched my niece and my nephew last night, all tootling around at my mother-in-law's birthday party last night, and just how into people they are, how focused they are, how they give their full attention and face to you in a conversation to express what's really on their heart. And preparing for this morning, I think of that. Am I looking longly and deeply into my father's face? Is he seeing my face daily? That deep connection to say, Uncle Jason, I got new purple boots. I question that. Obi, really, did you get purple? But it doesn't matter. He's into it, and I'm into him. And what he wants to share with me, and it doesn't all have to make sense. But faith has to be relational. It has to be connected. It's not an understanding. It's not just an experience. It is the essence of our relationship. It's a promise. It's a gift we've received that keeps us connected to Father God. And faith has to be activated. You and I have to do something with it. We have to engage with it. What's the opposite of faith? You can think for a moment. You don't have to answer that. Some would say that the opposite of faith is doubt. But I would say that the opposite of faith is actually fear, and fear breeds doubt. Fear breeds suspicion. Behind suspicion, behind doubt, isn't just a dying faith, but a sneaking, lurching fear of some sort. And fear is such a powerful demotivator. Fear will rob you of faith if you don't deal with it, if you don't face it, if you don't replace it. If you're not active with your faith, it dwindles and it gets stale and it becomes stagnant. And fear creeps in and tries to become bigger and bigger. I want to look for just a moment at how does faith look like a seed. We're talking about seeds, and we can't talk about seeds without talking about faith. But just like with seeds, behind faith, there's a natural process that already exists. Behind the power or the potency or the potential of a seed, there's a natural process that already exists. And we have to dive into that natural process that already exists. We have to engage in relationship with the one who's behind that natural process. And the nature of God is faithfulness. To have faith, we've got to believe that there's a faithful God that faith is meant to connect us to. It's not just so the boy can be healed. It's not just so the demons can flee. It's to connect us to the one who created us, to the one who's trying to get the seed into the dirt, the one who sent his son to become our seed in our dirt. And there's a reliable process of his word behind faith, that his word is reliable. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Tells us his word is reliable. Number three is behind the seed, there's this process of time that exists where faith depends not just on the time that's on the wall or on the clock or with the sun, that deals with God's time. That he's the one in charge behind the process, and the seed will crack and it will birth forth and it'll deepen and create roots, and it'll come up out of the top of the ground, out of the soil, in God's time. Not in my time, not when I'm ready, not when I say it a certain way or do it a certain way, that God is above time. And he has his own process of time. Hebrews 6:12 encourages us, don't be sluggish. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who by faith and patience inherit the promises. Those who inherit the promises are those who wait out God's time, who put in the time of patience and wait for God's time. And number four, our response matters. When we believe it, we have to act. We have to put it into action. You have to do something with the seed. How do we grow in our faith? Three quick things as we move to finish today. Number one, we understand that big always starts small. There's power in small breakthroughs. Too often today, our world minimizes small things. Well, it wasn't big enough because we're so bent on big. We got to dismantle this big thing every once in a while. Small is on its way to big. I remember Cole when he was young. It's not this summer. man, he's put on some height this summer. But I remember having conversations with Cole and how people would just belittle him because of his size. And they would judge him and weigh him and try and get under his skin just because of his size, because even his little kids were into big. Big's better. In small, there's powerful. There's purpose. There's mighty. And small in the kingdom of God is meant to become big. Jesus didn't look over Zacchaeus like everybody else did. There was mighty power, purpose, and a plan. What Jesus wanted to do was get the seed in the soil. To get the seed in the soil, because Zacchaeus' soil was as good as anybody's. Was as good as anybody's seed. And he knew the kingdom of God would produce a crop through Zacchaeus. Number two, we expect to get more of what we water. We have to water it. We have to tend it. We can't just plant it. How many of you have planted a garden and, much to your disappointment, the sprinklers missed that outside row? What happened? Nothing. The opposite to me this summer. I didn't realize one of my sprinkler heads had been moved by maybe me with the lawnmower or something, and it was spraying underneath our sunroom floor all summer long. My sprinklers are set for 3:45, so it was watering a crop underneath my sunroom floor. Thank you very much, right? But you can't just plant seeds. You can't, that's not just the point. Just to get the seed in the soil is not the point. It has to be regularly attended. Number three, we realize faith grows in the right environment. Not under the deck. Nothing grew underneath the sunroom. It got water, but it still didn't grow because it wasn't the right environment. It didn't have enough light. It was not good soil to grow, even though it got water. How can I become more of the right environment? One, I need to get the word in me. The word needs to become alive and active. You guys, I can't tell you how many times I've already heard in my 47 years how many people say, I can't get anything from God's word. Let's start there. That's the starting point. Right there, that's the starting point. You can get something from God's word. But as long as you believe that, you won't be able to get anything from God's word. If that's what you believe. But if you believe that God's word is sharp, that it's powerful, that he has promises in there for you and you want them, you can find them. God wants you to have them. God wants you to have understanding. And you can encourage others with it. Just like a seed, faith can transfer from one to another. Faith can be transplanted. That's even the process of laying on of hands in Scripture, is a transfer and a building and encouraging and a strengthening. That's why we share testimonies. There's power in not just the word of God, but the testimony of God. The believers wouldn't just share stories to get a great clap of applause or a wow, or that our faith would build and it would grow, that the small things would turn into big things, that the starting places, the seed would turn into something that can reach out and can extend itself and offer something to others, a place for the birds to set and to rest and to delight and to be and to feed in the garden. But here's the challenge. You can't transfer what you don't have. Your faith has to be built first. Your relationship has to be connected to God first. To finish, I like what Jeff said and finished with Lars and with Cassidy. And what I want to finish with is similar to that. Saying that divine inheritance isn't just about stuff accumulated, but the greatest divine inheritance, the greatest thing, the greatest purpose of Lars Gunderson's life, the greatest purpose of Cassidy Gunderson's life and their marriage, their home, isn't their job, isn't their seed small group that they're hosting at their home, it's passing their faith off to their children. It's depositing a faith that starts with Lars and with Cassie that has to grow inside of them first. They can't transplant something they don't really believe in. For some of us, our kids maybe got it from someone else. Maybe you got it from someone else. Maybe you didn't get it from your parents. But God's plan is that you would own and possess your faith. You would enjoy it. You would benefit from it. But that you would also be able to transplant and pass it into others. Like God has put it inside of you. Like God in his word, Jesus' words, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And how we've been grafted in. It's a transplanting process, this process of faith. I want to remind you, and I want to go back to this. I want to remind you that God's into dirt. God created dirt, and out of this dirt, God said, watch this, heaven. I've created sunsets and sunrises. I've created the butterfly. I've created the giraffe. I've created the elephant. And out of this, we're going to create mankind. We're going to create mankind. Each one of them will be created out of this. It's going to start with this. And yet in our life, throughout our lives, I'm no different. I'm the same. We like to try and hide our dirt. It's a different kind of dirt. I'm a little bit of word play on words, right? But we like to hide our dirt. Where God's saying, bring me your dirt. Don't hide your dirt from me. Bring me your dirt. I know about it anyway. I created you from it. And the fact is, I like to get my hands in dirt. Bring me your dirt. He's saying to someone here today, bring me your dirt. I want to get my hands around your dirt and I want to form it. I want to make your soil better. I want to put a seed of faith in your dirt. And I want to remove the dirtiness from your life. And I have plans to grow a crop that's 100, that's 60, that's 30 times fold. That's my plan for your life. Don't hide your dirt. I want to encourage you as we finish. Bring your dirt to God. Each one of us, every single one of us, wherever you are in Christ or without Christ. I want to provoke you to bring your dirt before God. He knows of it anyway. He created you from it. He wants to rescue you from your own dirt. Our biggest hindrance in life is our own dirt that we've created. Our own stale, moldy, nutrient-starved dirt that we've created. And I want to encourage you to bring your dirt to God. He wants to form it and shape it, and he wants to restore your dirt, and he wants to build his kingdom with your dirt. He values you. He values who you are and what he created and what he formed. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this series and seeds. God, I thank you that you have a plan that's far bigger than ours. All that we can imagine that you could do with our life, you want to do so much more. You have a better plan and a better purpose. And God, we submit ourselves to you. We give you our dirt. We give you what you created us to be from dirt, but we also give what we've created out of it. And God, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.